It's recording now, so I can say I'm sorry for not recording this first 15 minutes. You have missed out because you weren't here. Tough. It wasn't anyone else's fault, my fault. I had all these faces staring at me and I wasn't paying attention. So the problem that this campaign was built on to solve was this background. And that was this, that one man started a campaign to stop the government from funding SU Queensland for religious reasons. I won't go into that now, but the High Court of Australia was asked to intervene and could potentially stop the government from funding this program in schools. That would have affected SU Queensland. It would have affected the chaplains and it would have affected the students. The solution. We decided that often a problem can become a solution. A disadvantage can become an advantage. So we decided to take advantage of this to launch our own responsive or counter campaign to take advantage of or to harness the support, to gather the support of our stakeholders and to attract, as a result of this attack, to attract new supporters for SU Queensland and to attract more funding to respond to this attack. Because this was the highest court in Australia, there were lots of costs, legal costs. We had to step up and provide a defence, and we needed money to pay for the legal costs. Goals. What was the goal of the campaign? Sometimes there's one, sometimes there's more. For us, there was two. We wanted to, one was an influence goal. We wanted to give our supporters some resources or tools, something to pressure the government to keep the chaplaincy program going. So it's influence. The second goal was to raise money for this campaign. Objectives. We decided we wanted to try to attract 50,000 new supporters across the country. We needed that for this campaign. And we decided we wanted to raise $500,000 Australian dollars within that period of time that we needed. Our target stakeholders. We talked about stakeholders last week. Our target stakeholders in this campaign was politicians who represented the government, supporters, in other words, our own people who donated, who wanted to donate and who were donating to SU Queensland, donating money, I mean. And thirdly, the news media. The news media are this influential stakeholder group who can influence others, other stakeholders. The message. Often there's one or two messages, key messages of a campaign, and ours was this. Save our chaplains. Our kids are worth it. And the second one was, tied to that was, your investment, or your giving of money to SU Queensland is helping us change young people's lives. And there were some images that went along with it. Now, what communication tools did we use? It was a challenge I put to you last week. So many communication tools to choose from today. How do you know which ones to choose in a campaign? How do you narrow it down to the right communication tools? For us, it was the news media, So the news media are a tool, communication tool, and they're a stakeholder group. Obviously a website, social media. For us also, because we were a not-for-profit, relying on money to be donated to us, direct mail is a very powerful communication tool for that scenario, for that situation. Direct mail is more of a marketing tool where you directly appeal in print or electronically to your audience to give, to behave, to act in a certain way. And it's usually a direct way of communicating with your audience. Here is an example of one piece of communication we used. It was called a statement of support. We asked our stakeholders, particularly those who are supporting us, parents of families in Australia, to support us with a statement. We provided them with a statement, with the wording, and they could sign it. They could sign it electronically or through a physical signature. And it was addressed to the Prime Minister and the Minister for Education to influence them. We collected hundreds of thousands of these with signatures to influence the government. We built a social media, it was a website that was interactive with social media. This is an example. So now we come to tactics, which is one element of a communication plan. So far we've looked at other elements. I've shown you key messages, I've shown you communication tools, I've shown you goals and objectives. I've shown you target audiences or target stakeholders. This one is tactics. So we built our own social media platform and asked supporters to upload photos. I don't know if you can see, but in the middle there, there's lots of photos of faces. And when people uploaded their photo, it went somewhere in there, a collage of faces. Sign a statement of support. That plus sign there is to click to go and sign a statement of support to the Prime Minister and the Minister for Education. Thirdly, share this campaign with friends. And so they could do that through Facebook and other platforms. Donate financially to the cause. They could click on there and donate. And finally, they could view or read stories. We produced videos of kids telling stories, chaplains telling stories, and people could view them and read them. One of the final elements of a communication plan is evaluation, measuring. Were you successful? And often, that comes back to what objectives you set. So for us, I've repeated the objectives. The two objectives really, I think, showed that we were successful. Lots of money, lots of people supporting us. In the end, this campaign was successful because the government agreed, well, the High Court firstly agreed that the government could legally continue to fund school chaplains and schools, and so the government continued the program. We were successful. So that's one case study, Save Our Chaplains campaign. Now, getting back to the theory. In a minute, I'm going to get you to do an exercise to build a communication plan for Finnair. We keep talking about Finnair every week. Finnair is a good case study that you can build throughout this course. So here. The first element of a communication plan is to look at the background. What is the... Actually, I'm going to go through the details in a minute. But because this is going to be an exercise in a minute, make sure you know this so that you can implement this, do this in a minute in the exercise with Finnair. Background, communication goals and objectives. 3, target stakeholder or audience. 4, key messages. 5, communication tools and tactics. 6, timeline. How much time do you have? Days, weeks, months, a year to run this communication plan? That's not all. A budget. How much money do you have? If you had $1 million or euro, you could do lots of things. Money helps, but you might have a small budget and still be successful. So budget. And number 8, evaluation. Evaluation is a part of a communication plan. You need to plan to evaluate. So number 8 means decide how you are going to measure your success. Now that I've given you the list of 8 elements of this communication plan, I'm going to go through each one very quickly before I get you to do this exercise with Finnair. But first, remember I said the problem and the solution? The problem is kind of outlined in the first part, the background, and most of everything else is you providing the solution. Also, remember I said at the beginning that a communication plan should always follow the corporate strategy. So what the boss says, you follow. So the corporate section is the big picture, the helicopter view, some people call it. If the company is set up to do something, and that's the corporate strategy, the big picture, you and your communication team need to fit the communication plan into that corporate strategy. The second part there is the communication section, where you dig a bit deeper into the tactics, the target audience, and then you get even deeper into the tactics gets even deeper. You're tunneling down. So you start off with the helicopter view, the corporate big picture. You go onto the ground for the communication section, and then when you dig into the individual, tricky, clever tactics, you're going a bit deeper. So what do I mean by the background? Which is a summary of the problem in a way. So here, let me give you some ideas. Obviously, the background is helpful to the context. Before you can solve anything, you need to know more about the problem. Some examples. It could be that the company needs to hire more engineers, but there aren't enough engineers in the country. And the CEO comes to you and the communications team and says, help us solve this problem. Another example would be the university needs to attract more students so that it can meet next year's budget. And the university comes to you and the communication team and says, help me solve this problem. Third example, staff in a local council feel they're not valued by management because they never see anyone from management come and visit them or communicate with them. That's a common problem. And so the council leadership or management come to you in communication and say, help us solve this problem. Each of these 3 examples was a real situation and there are case studies built on solving these three problems. So they really happened. They turned to the communications team and said, help us solve this problem in real life. So the background first element of a communication plan includes a summary of the corporate strategy and what Cornelison talks about, the strategic intent. The second part, what are goals and objectives? In some of the other classes, you may have been taught this. Goals are a bit more of the bigger picture, the overall changes that you want to cause. Objectives are narrower, more specific and measurable, short term. Objectives help you reach your goals. So some examples. If your goal is to increase support for your local community for their development project, then your objective might be to get positive news publicity of your organization's activities in two local newspapers. Notice two meaning it's measurable. Later you can see if you are successful by seeing if two newspapers did a story about this. Target stakeholders or audience. We've talked about that last week, and here are some examples. Key message. Sometimes this is a tricky one for you. What do I mean by key message? One example might be what you may be familiar with. We call it the elevator pitch. So if you get 20 seconds to tell someone your message, what would it be? In marketing, they talk about this. Often you see a slogan in an advertisement. That's the key message. Communication tools and tactics. This is the what Cornelison calls the media strategy. So we look at the media now and choose which media, which communication tools to use. Here are some examples. FTF meaning face to face. How do you choose which ones? Down the bottom there, I've got some ideas for you. So it depends. You choose depending on the resources you have, the money, staff, and so on. It depends on what the stakeholder prefers. It's no good posting something on Instagram for grandmothers, I'm guessing. So it depends where your stakeholders are reading and watching and listening. On the right, I have tactics. Now, your grandmothers may. Don't worry. So, tactics, actions and steps to reach your goals and objectives. They are the steps to achieve your objectives and goals. Timeline. Here is an example of a Gantt chart. If you're putting a communications plan together, this is very helpful. It shows you visually how you can fit your tactics into a timeline. The timeline across the top, tactics down the left. So, you would then prepare a strategic timeline for your communication plan from start to finish. The top left would be the first thing you do, the bottom right being the last thing you do. And evaluation is the last thing you do. We'll talk about evaluation again in a minute. Budget is number 7. I think that's obvious. Evaluation. How do you measure your success? The trick is to be specific with your objectives. Make your objectives measurable. Put numbers in there. Put months and timelines in there. So the question is, how will you be monitoring and listening to your stakeholders while you're communicating to them? Let me say this. People assume evaluation goes at the end of your campaign. When you've finished communicating, then measure. It's not always true. It's best, if you can, to evaluate throughout the communication. Same with face-to-face communication. When we start talking, we're measuring whether people are getting what we are saying to them. We don't wait till the end. Oh, so the final point there is, why is this important? This is important, to know why it's important. 2 points, and I'm going to give you a quick quiz after this to test your knowledge. Why is this important? It's to determine if your campaign was successful. I've got the is/was. The reason I have is there is because I suggested that evaluation could be in the middle of your campaign. Halfway through your communication plan, in the middle month, you could evaluate, is it working? And so, why is that important? It's to determine if your campaign is successful before you finish. And the second point is, it's to improve communication in the future. So at the end, you decide, were you successful? And if you find you weren't always successful, you learn from that. You fix it. So, here's the reminder of a communications plan. This is the most important thing to learn today for your exam. It's a little bit different to Cornelison's chapter. But this is important. Okay, the quiz. I'm not going to assess you, but I do want you to write down answers to 2 questions, and then someone next to you can check if you are okay. First question? No, 2 questions. Test your knowledge now. Do you remember the 8 elements of the communication plan? And why is it important? 2 minutes. Quick. You can type it, handwrite it. What do you remember? How much do you remember? Seconds. Tw- 20 seconds. Ten seconds. It sounds like some of you decided you would say the eight elements to the person next to you rather than write them. Okay, so the answers here. You can ask the person next to you to check, please. How did I go? Eight out of eight. Who got 8 out of 8? Put your hand up. Not, no? Okay, a few of you. Who got 7 out of 8? Okay. Who got 0 out of 8? Nobody. Good. What was the other question? How important? Down the bottom there. Why is this important? So that was the second question. All right. Yes. Sorry? Which one? Oh, yeah, sorry, your answer, yes. Did you yeah, good. 2 out of 2 for that one. It's always good when your boss asks you at the end of a campaign, were you successful? The boss usually wants to know about the money. But communication helps with the boss getting the money. Good, 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 good. Okay, so you did that. Now, another case study. I have told you a little bit about it before, but I'd like to tell you more. I've told you that in Australia, we did some research to tell us whether Australians were eating enough fibre. So, you remember me telling you this RACE principle? Yeah. It's recording now. But the first 10 minutes were not recorded. So you missed it. Remember the RACE structure I told you about? R meaning research. Start your campaign with research. In the bread campaign, we researched Australians' behaviours of eating fibre. We researched their attitudes towards eating bread. And the result of that research showed us the problem. And the problem was that they weren't eating enough fibre. So we decided to solve that problem through communication. So we decided it would be an education campaign. There are different types of campaigns. This one was an education one. We wanted to educate Australians about the health benefits of eating this type of food called bread. And so I can't call these objectives. These are goals. Partly I say that because objectives need to be measurable. Then you need to be able to measure, quantify them. These weren't. So we wanted to change attitudes and behaviours, and we wanted to reduce health problems. if people weren't having fiber in their diet, there's health problems. So the objectives: to increase daily consumption by Australians, among Australians, by 10%. Remember I said a number helps you. If you put a number in an objective, it's easier to measure. And time, January to December. But that wasn't a communication objective. That was a campaign objective. But in the communications team, we had our own objectives, communication objectives. So, here is an example. We wanted to attract positive stories from 6 magazines, 12 blogs, 7 radio programs, targeted to our target stakeholder groups. So, women, mothers of children, and we were aiming at media that were aiming at them. Women magazines and blogs and radio programs, parenting, health, and so on. Second one was to put or place 12,000 promotional point of sale stuff, material, in 12,000 shopping centres. Some of you are probably thinking, what is point of sale? I'll give you an example in a minute. I'll come back to that. Design, print and distribute 1 million brochures. Brochures are traditionally printed, small, paper format, colourful, attractive material that you give to people, customers. Build a website and Facebook site. So what do I mean by point of sale? I thought I had something there. Point of sale is when you go into a shopping centre or a shop, when you go to pick a product or when you go to pay for a product, something is there that promotes that product to you. I'll give you an example in a minute. I've told you about these target stakeholders, mothers particularly of young kids, and here are some others. Any questions? Key messages. Remember I told you about the elevator pitch of a key message? How do you summarize your message in 20 seconds or less? Here are some. This purple cow is an example of a point of sale material. So when you go to buy Milka chocolate in a shopping center, you would find this point of sale. Nothing to do with the bread campaign, but this is an example to show you of a point of sale. All right, communication tools and tactics. I told you about media, point of sale, brochures, website, Facebook. Timeline. In January, we decided we obviously needed to build the website structure for all Australians to go to find out about bread and a Facebook site. February, we did something else, a few things. March, finally, we decided to invite the news media to the world's largest hot cross buns in Canberra, the capital city of Australia. The budget. Here's some examples. So what's the world's largest hot cross buns got to do with the bread campaign? I hinted at this in the first lecture. It was designed really to attract attention of Australians. It was designed to fit into the timeline. So around March, April, at that time was Easter. Easter was coming up. And Easter, I have said to you, in Australia, hot cross buns, like in the UK, are a typical thing we eat at Easter, and only at Easter. It is a type of bread, so we decided to what we call piggyback a popular type of bread at that time to launch our bread campaign. When you launch a campaign, often it's a good idea to attract quickly lots of attention. So it was designed to quickly attract lots of attention through the news media. And the news media love anything that starts with world's largest or world's fastest. So there are some words that can attract lots of attention, and so this was one of them. I think I'm answering these questions. What was communicated? I gave you the key messages already. That was part of this. How was it communicated? Have I told you the size of the bread, the buns? Okay. See that piano here? It wasn't that size. No, it was. It was... In Australia and in the UK, hot cross buns are sold in packs of six, usually, in plastic bags. And so we built six hot cross buns, and we put them on a platform in a shopping centre car park. The six packs, the six buns in a pack were bigger than this piano, probably the size of from here back to the door, and as high as this gold plaque there. And the news media around Australia were interested in coming, and we launched it at this shopping centre in the capital city of Australia. I sometimes put a picture here, but I haven't this time, of... At that time, I was new in my job, and I ended up being the spokesperson for Australia of this campaign. And so for the first time in my experience, I had all the news media there in front of me wanting to know the story of what are these bums doing here. And so I had to be prepared with the story, but more importantly, with the key message. And it ended up being successful because at Easter, news media always wanting an Easter story, and this provided them with the Easter story. So it launched the campaign. From then on, for the next 12 months, or 9 to 12 months, we used that attention to keep educating Australians about the health benefits of bread. Okay. Any questions? I'm going to start talking about thin air in a minute. No one confused? Good. The exercise I was telling you about, I want you now to build a communication plan for Finnair. I was going to give you a choice. Sometimes I give this exercise. Nothing to do with Finnair. It's an imaginary one. So I guess I feel like I can, for those who are interested in this one, you can do this now. In the next slide, I'll show you the Finnair one. So if you want to do this one, read it quickly. So you don't have to build the whole communication plan, just those four. Now I'll show you the Finnair one. So I'm going to give you 5 minutes. To come up with these four elements of either Finnair or the mushroom-flavoured beer. For those of you who are familiar with Finnair, Finnair already flies to Edinburgh. But let's pretend they don't yet, but they will in December. You are the communications team leader for either the beer one or the Edinburgh Finnair one. Come up with a what are the target stakeholders? There's lots of them, but you can choose a few for your own ideas. Secondly, what key message? Just a few words to summarize the key message for the beer exercise or the Finnair one. Come up with a few communication tools you would choose and tactics. And finally, an approximate timeline. Is it going to take you? Well, I've told you the timeline. Well, it's got to be until December. So, 5 minutes. Now, and then I'll get you to share it with others and with me. By the way, these slides are in Moodle already. You can access these slides in Moodle. Some of you asked me last week to put them in Moodle before the class, so I will always do that now. This was the beer one. I'll put that back up. How are you going? Hopefully you're nearly done. So you should be wrapping up your communication plan. Sorry for not giving you much time to come up with a communication plan. This happens in a crisis. We'll talk about crises in a minute. In a crisis, you don't have much time. But for this scenario, normally you would have time. I'm putting you under pressure. And often it's fun being put under pressure. We have a crisis communication course we teach. I'll tell you about it in a minute for those interested in crisis communication. And in that one, in the future, we're thinking of putting in a simulation, kind of a modelling, putting into practice students under pressure responding to a crisis like I am for you. So the next step is to share your ideas with someone next to you. And then if you're feeling brave, you can share some of them with me. So just 1 or 2 minutes sharing your ideas with someone next to you. All right. Let's wrap that up now. How many of you chose the Finnair scenario? Put up your hand if you chose Finnair. Put your hand higher if you chose Finnair. Now I can see hands. Okay, good. Down and beer? A few, okay. All right, I'm glad I gave you a choice. Does anyone want to, before we move on, and you've shared it with your neighbours, that's good. Are you feeling brave enough? Is anyone feeling brave enough to share with me, let's say, some communication tools and tactics? Start with you, and then we'll go to the others. Yeah.
I thought of TV ads.
TV ads?
Just around traveling programs and everything.
Oh, which one? Finnair?
Yeah, Finnair.
Yep. Okay, so TV ads shown...
When there's a traveling program going on.
Okay. Yes.
You put the ad next to that or after that.
And the ad would be shown where?
On TV, when there's a...
On TV?
Yeah, on the break.
In the breaks, yeah, okay. Yeah. So
kind of after the program.
In the normal programming. Yeah. Okay, good. I had warned you not to spend too much money. And advertising costs money, but I didn't tell you how much advertising costs, so it doesn't matter. And it can be cheap. Yes, Finnair.
Yeah. There is some differences between different grades of stakeholders. For the upper stakeholders, like local authorities and investors, we can use group meetings.
Google what?
Group meetings.
Oh, yes. Okay, good.
And
let me just say, so he's talking about different types of stakeholders, and you called them what type of stakeholders? Upper.
Upper stakeholders.
Upper stakeholders, so... More influential, I guess, yeah?
To make it more popular from the grassroots, we can use all the digital media.
Okay, so you're saying digital media is better for everyday stakeholders, potential customers of Finnair. Okay, good. Anyone else? I like to see creativity going on, and you guys have shown some creativity there. The thing about coming up with a communications plan if you're working in a communications team is that it can be a very creative, you can use your imagination and be creative in this world of corporate communication. Is that your hand up? Yeah? A promotional event?
Yeah, for beer.
For beer? In supermarkets?
Not launched already, but to have a try and to know what it is about. And then in December, kind of like a gift for the time.
A gift. That's good. So you're playing on the idea that beer is it's a tasting thing, and you can win people over by tasting it, unlike Finnair. And so you are taking advantage of that. And if it's good flavour, people will want to buy it. Good. Excellent. Thank you for the brave people sharing their ideas. But I better move on. Because I promised you I'd talk about crisis communication. And so we have 10, 15 minutes for that. All right. Good. Well done. So just one quick slide to show you the things you need to know about this topic we've just covered. This is in Moodle, in my slide, so you will have that permanently. The blue text is in the textbook. Cornelison talks about it. I didn't talk about it in my lecture. Different types of message styles. Oops. Crisis communication. So the course we teach in Uvascular School of Business and Economics is Corporate Reputation and Crisis Communication. So if you're interested in that, there's a course. I talked about proactive and reactive communication. The first part of the lecture was proactive. Crisis communication is more the reactive side of things. The point is that you can plan for a crisis, mostly. So crisis communication is really all about tapping into what might potentially happen in the future for your company. So for Finnair, or for the beer company, there are some potential crises that could happen. For the beer, it could be that poison accidentally gets in there. An ingredient, and mushrooms can be very poisonous. Some sort of ingredient in there can harm people's health when they consume it. And so my advice to the communications team for the beer company is prepare ahead of time in case that happens. Because when it happens, it will happen suddenly and quickly, and you'll need to respond quickly, and it's always best to be prepared. For Finnair, obviously, a crisis can happen, and there are lots of scenarios. A crash, or a crew member punching a passenger. Prepare. So, really, I can summarize two things about preparing. One is, often the head of communications for the company will plan a team to respond to a crisis when a crisis does happen. So it might be specialists from different parts of the organization and outside who can quickly be called together and say, hey, the crisis that we planned for just happened, it's time to shine. So their contact details are there for this emergency. And they know their role in that team, and they may have even practiced this crisis that potentially happened. So they're prepared. The second thing is that a written plan should really be put together before a crisis happens. So the communications manager should plan for all the scenarios that could happen in a crisis and put in writing, step by step, who's responsible for what, what's going to happen first, second, third, fourth, and so on. So let me give you a quick scenario that happened to me. My role was as an advisor to an organization. And as a result of that, I got a phone call from a school. I think I have a map here. Yes, in Australia. A school in Mount Isa, where the flag is. I was in Sydney. You can see Sydney, bottom right there, next to Canberra. I got a phone call from a guy I had never met, but we knew of each other. He was the principal of a school. And he had a crisis forming. And for some reason, he called me. I could give him advice. I couldn't go there and manage the crisis for him, but I could do the next best thing. Plan B was for me to give him advice. So I did. So this was my advice based on what he told me. He told me that the school was facing a financial crisis, that they had mismanaged the money. The finance manager had mismanaged the money, and he had been sacked. And as a result, the school had to come up with a financial bailout or a backup plan. They found someone who could give them the money to keep going. But a staff member who knew about this problem told some parents who told the local newspaper. And the local newspaper rang the principal, and the principal rang me. And within that 5-10 minute conversation, he told me this background, and it was my responsibility, I felt, to, because he didn't call anyone else, he called me to help him. So based on that scenario, what would you do? So I have some, I should go give you the correct advice. The result was that the parents went to the principal and said, we're pulling our children out of the school. Obviously, the school cannot continue because of a financial problem. And so parents decided before the school closes, they would pull the students out. This was just a small group of parents. But if a small group of parents start pulling kids out of school, more parents would find out about the problem and the crisis would explode. But the principal told me that they had a backup plan. The school could continue. They found the money. But the question was, how do they quickly manage this crisis and get the parents' confidence back quickly? The local newspaper had found out, how do they convince the local newspaper that the school is not closing? How could they convince the local newspaper? So this was my advice. I said, put together in writing your financial plan. How are you going to show that money is no longer a problem? Put it in writing on one page. The second thing, explain very briefly in writing how this all happened. Be transparent, honest. Don't exaggerate. Be honest. Put it in writing. How did this happen? Step by step. Third thing, I said, let's think about who your stakeholders are now. Obviously, the local newspaper was a stakeholder. The parents were a stakeholder. Who else? I said, in a crisis, the most important stakeholders usually are the influencers. Because if you can find influencers, you can try to quickly get the influencers on your side. So I said, who are the influencers for you? Obviously, the local newspaper is one. The mayor and other politicians who are stakeholders of schools in all countries was one group, the mayor and local politicians. Like most schools, there is the head of the school who is a chairperson. We decided that was an influencer. The members of the board of the school were influencers. I don't know if it's the same in Finland, but in Australia, in the UK, there are parent groups. So they are an influencer. So I said, these five or six influencers, quickly phone them and arrange a meeting within 24 hours. Very quickly, arrange a meeting in the school. Have these materials ready I told you about. Get the politicians on your side. Convince them you have a plan. Get them to come to the meeting. Get them to put in writing a statement that they support you, that they have confidence in you. Bring them all together. And tomorrow evening, have your meeting. The last thing I said was call the local newspaper back. Tell them, ask them, plead with them to not report the story for one more day. You want to have the meeting first. The end result was that he did all of that. The local newspaper agreed they would wait one more day, partly because he said he had already rung the mayor of the city, and the mayor of the city was on his side and was coming to the meeting to support the school. He convinced the local newspaper to wait. The local newspaper came, like all the other stakeholders, to the meeting the next day. And as a result, the crisis was controlled and managed. If that gives you some sort of I'm hoping that gives you a scenario, a crisis situation that can be managed through communication. And for those of you who are more interested in crisis communication, there is a course we teach, I've told you that. And crisis communication questions will be in the exam, so you'll be tested on it. So, one last thing about crises is this. The last session is on 28 October. And we've invited this guy who heads up one of the leading communications agencies in Finland to come and talk about a crisis situation he managed. And there's a web, there's a link there to a news item about this crisis. So he can tell you the story of how it happened in Finland. And the topic of that 28 October session is dip into the world of corporate communication. So, for those who can, I've opened up in Moodle a feedback page again like last week. Please, if you've got questions, put them in there. You can go now and afterwards and do that. And next week, we have a guest who will come and talk about corporate identity and branding. They tend to just get up and go when it's time. So just reminding you that there is a movie attitude study starting at 2 o'clock.